Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
What do you notice that you are spending more on nowadays? After picking up my son from football last night, we ran by the Acme just to grab a few things. I had dinner ready in the oven, but just to, you know, because it's 6-something at night. And he's like, wow, he loves the certain cottage cheese and pineapples. He's like, it was almost $6 even on sale, and the cartons have gotten smaller. He's like, wow, that's like $6, and I eat all of it at once, you know.
Is he 90? Sorry, I don't mean to throw a shot at the...
No, cottage cheese is like, it's back
Maisie
in.
Maisie does it too. I don't get cottage
it's
cheese.
It's high in protein.
She likes it extra
you.
Chunky, and it's like, yeah. It's like eating sweet blue cheese. It's gross.
David loves it, but he was noticing the higher prices. I told you yesterday that newly released data, Labor Department, showing the consumer price index, broad measure of how much everyday goods like, you know, gas, groceries, rent, it rose 0.2% in August. So the good news is that that's in line with expectations, but it still rose again. And then prices climbed for the month of August, 2.5% from the same time last year, slightly less than the estimates. We talked about that yesterday, that those numbers were the best they've been in 2 years, but still way up. By a lot of guesstimates or estimates, those average costs, if you look at the question that Kamala Harris never answered the other day during the debate, are you better off? From 4 years ago, no, you're paying just a basic look at what you're paying at least 22% more for basic items, and on some items as much as 40% more. So we'll take you through that. But I think that's important to think about the dollar store. And what 855-839-1210, what are you paying more for that really bothers you? For Larry and I, for my husband, we talk about bananas. Bananas are cheaper than they've ever been for whatever reason. So we have lots of bananas.
Banana Republic.
Yeah, it's a banana republic. So I guess that's our symbol of the crazy times we live on. And you know, Americans facing all these different inflation rates depending on where you live. So I love this study where they looked at the Labor Department releasing these numbers, but also it depends on where you live. So if you live in the South, you're experiencing things are a little bit better. If you're in Philadelphia, where do we fall with inflation? 3.4%. Okay. And that's right now where we are. And obviously that's not the 4-year outlook. Okay. But this is just year to year. So when they talk about 2.5% year in a year, we actually are up from that. Do you see what I'm saying?
My sister-in-law is down there in South Carolina, and she's confused sometimes when we talk about how much grocery, you know, have spiked and all this inflation, because down there in a red state, she's not really experiencing as much of the inflation that we're experiencing here in this very blue city.
That's because she's experienced, according to the data, 1.7%.
Wow.
So it's still up in South Carolina from 4 years ago. Obviously, everything's up at least 22%. But what she's experiencing is 1.7%. What we have in Philadelphia, 3.4%. What is it in New York City? 3.8% New York City. Okay.
So we're right there with New York.
So we here on the East Coast, it's rough. So, you know, you think about that, and that's why when somebody like Kamala Harris comes here to Philadelphia, and Kathy Barnett, you know, and she'll be back on today, right, Kathy?
Yeah, she'll be on at 10:30 today.
10:30 today. Let me give you the rundown. Kathy at 10:30, Carolyn Leavitt, who just had a baby, 11 o'clock. We'll talk to Carolyn, and then Caroline, and then we've got the bakery owner, and that's Kathleen. Is it Lochelle?
Lochelle.
It is Lochelle. Yep. Okay. Because some people have said, well, whether you say Lochelle, I say Lochelle, but it's good, right?
Tomato,
she's the queen of sweet stuff at 11:30, so that's going
to
be good.
Can't wait to hear from her.
Yeah. So what are you experiencing when you go to the grocery store? What are you not buying versus what you are buying now? And are you not going out to eat as much? So we have this big family gathering. It's David's birthday. You know, when you think about having family over, and Larry's like, why don't we just, you don't have to cook, we can take everybody out. I'm like, well, first of all, we got the whole family. It's just easier at the house. Mm-hmm. And then number two, it's just so much more expensive to go out to eat.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, even cooking at home, Dawn, like, me and Maisie, what we'll do is we'll get a giant steak, like a London broil, and throw it onto a pan and, you know, mm-hmm. put it in the oven and have a nice juicy steak for dinner. But even that's, like, going out to eat at this point. Those things are expensive now, 20 plus bucks.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's through the roof. But you got to make sure you marinate for at least 24 hours. Got to do that.
Oh, yeah?
Absolutely. This is.
Do you slow-cooked barbecue?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like you do.
Well,
do you have a smoker?
If you don't have time for it, you could just do whatacrock.com. I love what I use Whatacrock all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
What is that, a grill or
Whatacrock? Yeah. No, they started out as a local company, and so they've gone national, but they'll deliver it. Everything's frozen and it's good to go. You just put it in the crock pot. Boom.
Oh, I like that.
It's whatacrock.com. Check it out. It's affordable and it's actually good. It's not like processed or anything. It's like
it's a clever name, too.
It's like you could actually serve it and then claim that you made it. Not that I would ever do that.
You've totally done it before. Let's not lie here.
So here's the deal. I will say this, too, that there was another indicator, and this was Comerica Bank's chief investment officer, John Lynch, as well as another senior analyst. They were talking about the correlation between stock prices and election outcomes. And I loved this. I'm looking at the Dow down 169. So the Dow down right now. But this is the quote, equity performance reflects broader economic sentiment. This is the word equity in a good light. This is where the word equity belongs during a conversation about financials, right, in the economy. But the S&P's 500 performance, when we think about it, and the Dow could be a greater indicator for impending victory for a challenger. So in other words, could be bad for Kamala Harris with a down Dow, and could be good news for Trump because he is the king when it comes to the economy.
I mean, we see time and time again, the stock market directly reflect what we're seeing here in the election as they gear up for a Trump economy versus a Kamala economy. And you know, it seems to go up and down based on that. Hey, one thing I want to throw at you is the housing inflation, because as a young person who just bought a house, it was nearly impossible, and it's nearly impossible for a entire young generation to enter into the first-time home buyer's market because inflation has skyrocketed, and, you know, that brings in the whole issue of open borders and all and creating supply and demand, and it's becoming a situation where an entire generation isn't going to be able to own their own home.
Yeah, and that's supposedly the American dream, right? We'll get to J.D. Vance in a minute. He's all over the place being interviewed even this morning. So he's speaking out about the economy. Let's take your calls. 855-839-1210. Margaret in Langhorne. Hey, Margaret. Good morning.
Good morning. I have to be a hawk because I live on my Social Security. So I watch prices very carefully. I've been trying to buy paper towels now for 2 weeks because not only are other women very astute and have bought them all, mm-hmm. but they're $7.99 for two, for a package of two. So I'm trying to get them from Aldi because they're cheaper, but it's become a quest to do this kind of stuff. It was like with the eggs.
Yeah.
They were $7.19 for 18 eggs.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this.
It's crazy.
I don't care about anything other than how to get my family fed. So everything else is a moot point.
Yeah. Amen. Amen, sister.
That's how I vote.
Yeah. Margaret, and that's just it. It's when you look at that one fact, and will that keep a lot of even Democrats here in Philadelphia feeling, like Dan said, if you're in another part of the country and you're not feeling it, like we're feeling it here in Philadelphia. So you think about Philadelphia, Chicago, New York, what do all these things have in common? All blue cities. Does this make people feel like, meh, you know what? When Trump was president, I'm just saying things were better and I could afford to feed my family. I could afford the gas. I could afford these basic things in life. And absolutely, that's in the back of everybody's minds.
So Fox Business actually did an analysis of certain sects of the economy, if you want me to run through that real quick for you.
Sure.
22.6% overall since 2020, a rise in food prices. The egg prices in particular. Since August 2020, Dawn, 60.7% they have skyrocketed. Other food categories, dairy products up 16%, fruit and vegetables up 13.8%, shelter prices increasing nearly 23.4% since August 2020, rents for primary residents up by a similar amount, energy costs up 42.4% over the past 4 years, fuel oil spiking 70.3%, which I would suggest is a huge portion for the entire spike in inflation is the cost of oil. Vehicles and gas prices, new vehicles up 19.5%, used 17.9% since August 2020, and auto insurance prices 52.4%.
So you look at that and you think to yourself, how will people vote this year? And I think that's just it, just like Margaret said to me. So all of the other issues that you're going to think about, whether it's the political correctness, any other issue, I think this is the one because it impacts every American every single day. And I would submit to you that that's why I think that the fact that, you know, even though Greg Stocker and Nick Kale, they feel that Trump did, quote, badly, that he lost the debate. I know I'm not going to do the whole thing on the debate again because I think everybody's over it. But I'm just going to say this. I think that for the average person, when they saw Trump answer the economy question, the answer, I think he answered it. I think people trust him because it's what I've been saying. Who do you trust? I think Trump wins that. And overall, you know what nobody's saying post-debate? Nobody's saying, oh, he was a bully. Oh, he was a sexist. Oh, he was. Nobody's saying that. Nobody's saying he was crazy. He was over the top. He was screaming. He was crazy ranting. And he was not. Nobody's saying that. I think that's that actually in and of itself, that what's being omitted because it didn't happen, because people watched it with those huge ratings that we talked about. I think that's a huge win for Trump.
The people of our country are absolutely dying with what they've done. They've destroyed the economy. And all you have to do is look at a poll. The polls say 80 and 85 and even 90% that the Trump economy was great, that their economy was terrible.
Boom. There it is. And the fact that he's not a slick talking, right? He's not a slick talker. He's not a politician. He comes off as a regular guy. He does not memorize things. He just doesn't. That's not who he is. And so I think that plays well for him. I do. I think this week, look, as we start seeing the debate in our rearview mirror more and more and more, I think that you will see that he did well in this week. And also the images that everybody saw, the image of Trump standing there with J.D. Vance and President Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, a lot of other politicians were there as our nation mourns and commemorates those victims of September 11th. What do you see happen? Trump kindly smiling, very cordial, reaches over, shakes the hand of Kamala Harris. It was a nice moment. It was just nice. And so you can't take that away from him. You cannot take away from him this week that he comes off as a nice gentleman, right? And I think that's a huge win. Don't diminish that. That's a huge win for Trump. We have to take a quick break. Your thoughts, 855-839-1210, the number to call. And just say a prayer, if you will, for the family of Jamie Roman as flags are flying at half staff this morning. The officer killed. He was, and I can say this now, he was shot last June. Lost his battle for survival, his wife, his children, our Philadelphia men and women of law enforcement. We're backing the blue, but we're thinking of you. And I know that this is a rough week that he passed away, and they were hoping and praying that he would somehow survive being gunned down on what should have been a routine day at work, and he never came home. So we're saying a prayer and holding our police family and certainly the Roman family in our prayers this morning. The actual title, although I do think that we heard a lot about that word joy, that she's joyful. Remember that during the DNC, the actual slogan, strength through joy. If I fact check it, have I seen that campaign slogan? I don't think that's their official slogan, although they were trying to be joyful and talk about joy. But I will just give you some headlines from, you know, some, and these are even the New York Times and others. If you, for yourself, DuckDuckGo this or Google it, however you, you know, get your, whatever your search engine, and you look at joy and Kamala Harris, there are headlines within the past days and weeks as they say that, you know, that her, you can't run on joy. You cannot run a campaign on joy. That was, so all, there are headlines in the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, talking about Kamala Harris is showing that joy can be a strategy. That's another headline. Others in major publications saying, no, joy is not a strategy to win. So she has used the word joy. That's true. But do I think she's a Nazi? No, absolutely not. And so I don't, here's the thing. That's what the progressives, I'm not even going to say Democrats, the progressives, you know what they've done? The progressives, they've put a yard sign in their yard that says hate has no home here, but they are the party that has called us evil, MAGA, that we're evil, right? That we're deplorables. That's what we've heard for years and years and years. So I'm not going to call her a Nazi. Because there's nothing worse, you know, that's a horrifying thing to call somebody, quite frankly. And so I'm not going to call her a Nazi. I'm not going to call her evil. I'm simply saying that what she stands for as far as her policies will not work to make our economy better, will not work effectively to make America great again. And I'm just going by the facts and the numbers. And so then I just want to remind you of what happened with Trump. I never saw anything like it in my lifetime. When Trump came in and we had, just take one thing, the corporate tax, what was it? It was 35%. He put it down to 21%, and wow, it was, and he did many other things too. And we know about the so-called Trump tax cuts, which end, they're set to end in 2025, okay? And so if you think about how that just spurred our economy, corporations, they didn't leave. The jobs didn't leave. And things were humming along in a way that we've never seen in this country. If you don't believe me, look back at the numbers pre-pandemic for every single community. You don't have to say for this group or that group. It was better for everybody. Historic numbers. But in particular, yes, for women, for minorities and all of that. All of us felt it. And so Kamala Harris, she's talking about coming in. Her policy is that she wants to raise your taxes for everybody. She has said, if your income is 400 grand or more, boom, your taxes are going way up. It's significant. As far as that corporate tax, it's not as high as Biden. It's not 38% that Biden wants to bring it up, but it's still high and it's much higher than Trump. So, you know, look at the numbers, look at the facts, and now look at your grocery bill, your power bill, and that's another thing. So with Trump, the reason he's talking about fracking here in Pennsylvania, the reason he's talking about making us energy independent again is so that our energy prices go down, but that means more American jobs. I mean, he makes it seem really simple. And I think in one hand, when he casually says these things, I think he's just thinking, he's looking around. He must look around, and he must have done it the other night during the debate. And he must be thinking, are you even kidding me? And that's why he keeps saying that never in his lifetime has he seen a candidate who says, yes, I'm going to raise your taxes, and that person wins. That's a new one. And so I think we do have to open our eyes, but it's not about campaign slogans. It's about the policy and the proven winner. For me personally, it's hands down. Trump has got this because he is the president who is proven to deliver peace and prosperity. Boom. Mic drop moment. There it is. 855-839-1210.
You want to take Frank before we head to Kathy Barnett?
Sure. Hey, Frank.
Good morning, Dawn. Good morning, Dan. How are we doing today?
Doing great, my friend. It's always your just your voice and your good morning
so
makes my morning. I know.
Buongiorno. How about if I sound Italian? I'm Italian. I was born in Italy. So I'll say buongiorno for my own.
Get it all. Don't miss any of it.
I like to talk in regards to the economy. That this vice president talks about that it's great, it's this and that. 2 weeks ago, I paid for eggs $2.22, and I don't know if I can mention the supermarket that I, but it was Aldi's anyway. I'll mention it. $2.22 today. Yesterday it was. I went shopping again. It's $3.79.
Yeah.
So when the White House, and I wish Peter Ducci, I think I'm pronouncing the right name.
That's the Italian pronunciation. Peter Ducci.
Well, I pronounce it Italian. You pronounce it English. In English. So in saying that, Dorn, when they said when the White House say the economy is great, this and that, why don't they turn around and get the receipts of mm-hmm. the president when President Trump, the White House, they have to pay for that food or whatever they order, and get those receipts from President Trump the 4 years he was in, and get the receipts that Sleepy Joe or Beach Joe, whatever they call them right now, or Harris. And then get the receipts from them and see what it should be about between 30% to 40% more. Now, bacon. Yeah. Let's talk about bacon.
Bacon.
I go to have a little breakfast every morning. The owner of that little breakfast place that I go and have here in South Philadelphia, he told me in the last 2 weeks, just eggs and bacon, $2,500 he paid.
That's crazy.
And that's a small place. It's not like Penrose Diner or these big diners that are out there.
Big could you bucks imagine for the bacon.
I didn't think Italians ate bacon, though. I thought it was pancetta. What's going on here? Why are you calling it bacon over here?
No, I make the pancetta, Dan. I make the prosciutto and the gabagol and the super side.
By the way,
I'm going to give you. I wish I had an hour to talk with you guys, but here's the thing. We've been in the food business for over 50 years down here in South Philadelphia, and we also had 10 different businesses in Philadelphia area, my whole family. And here's the thing. My one friend, he has a trucking outfit. When it was the Biden administration, he was paying for gas at $600, and that's two tanks on tractor trailers. Right now, he's paying between $2,000 and $2,300 for the same gas. The reason why when gas goes up,
yep,
everything else goes up.
Amen.
So when this administration talks about that binotics or whatever they call it, I'll say it in Italian if they want me to say it in Italian.
Say it in Italian. But
I don't even know how to pronounce binotics.
Homelonomics.
Kolomeka. Let me put it that way. and I paid also last week, and that was at a hotel house at, Rosa Foods. I paid $34 for a gallon of oil. Wow. And in the market, in the supermarket, they're $57 for another brand. I forget what the brand was. It was $57. 1 gallon olive oil. And I was in Italy this past summer, and in Gasparina, the whole mountain was full of olive trees. Mm. And they process it over there. Now, when that doesn't cost much to kind of raise them, to turn around and have them olive trees on the mountain, just for the water and the sun. What causes is the gas bringing them over here. And that's why.
That's the problem. Frank, I got to run. I love you. I know. I got to bring my boys to see Frank. We got to, because we miss the real.
Did you get any
authentic
of his gabagool when he made it for Christmas?
I know. I got to.
That's good.
And his wine. Oh, we love you. And you know what else? I'm spending a lot more time cooking in the kitchen, right? In my kid, I'm spending more and more time because we're not going out to eat. When it comes to your home, especially your kitchen, trust is everything. For over 45 years, Kitchen Magic, building a reputation for transforming kitchens with precision, professionalism, and such care. From custom cabinets, countertops, backsplashes, storage solutions, Kitchen Magic gets the job done and fast. In just a few days, your dream kitchen becomes a reality without all the hassle. Trust the name your neighbors have relied on for decades, Kitchen Magic. Get your free in-home consultation at kitchenmagic.com. Get it on the calendar. Let's cook up something extraordinary. Kitchenmagic.com. Tell Dawn sent you. Kathy Barnett, my dear friend, who you know, ran for Senate, made historic numbers by going door to door and coming out of nowhere to be a real favorite. And Kathy, an author, recently coming off the campaign trail, running the grassroots campaign for Vivek Ramaswamy. Kathy taught everybody how to say Vivek Ramaswamy's name And that in and of itself is it. You know, I remember you saying Vivek, like cake. How are you, my friend?
I am doing well. I know, like that was an epiphany one day. Vivek, like cake, to help us. Yes, thank you so much for having me on, Don.
Always. You know, we ran out of time yesterday. You know, it's back to school. You're talking about the economy numbers. And here's the thing, you know, you are busy. You're all over nationally, you know, locally. You're a very busy lady, so we appreciate your time. But you're also a hands-on mom. You homeschooled your kids when they were younger. I don't know how you did it. You've served in the military. But for you, you know, a lot of people are saying that this election will come down to women, especially women in the suburbs. And yet we have this little thing called inflation, Bidenomics, Kamalanomics. What do you see when you think about, because you know Pennsylvania well, Kathy, yeah. I mean, I remember you calling in when you were on the campaign. I mean, it was amazing. And you were on these road trips. It was exhausting. But in a sense, you have a great sense of Pennsylvania because you were door to door across all parts of this great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. What do you see here?
Yeah. Well, and again, thank you so much, Dawn. I just appreciate you and your friendship and clarity on so many of these issues that we're grappling with today. Let's talk about suburban women, right? And when they say suburban women, they're talking about suburban white women, right? Mm-hmm. And I spent a lot. I live in the suburbs around mm-hmm. a lot of these particular women. Here's the thing that I learned when I was out there on the campaign trail in my own race with Vivek, that it is so important to understand your audience. And with that, there are people who their number one priority is abortion, the ability to, I say murder, you could call it what you want, but the ability to do away with that child whenever, however, at whatever time of a point of pregnancy that they want. And it is so important to understand there is nothing we can say to move those particular people mm-hmm. off that perch. They're on that perch. They ain't coming down for that perch. I don't care about the economy. I don't care. I don't care that we're about to go into World War III. These things don't matter to a certain segment of our population that is real. And only real life is going to change or have the ability to change those people and move them off that perch. Donald Trump, myself, Vivek, you, we're not going to move these people off their perch. But then I believe there's about 2/3 of the population who is very open. 1/3 of them are, you know, inclined to vote for Donald Trump. I'm talking about the general election. But then there's another third. And I believe that those people are open. The problem with the Republican Party is that we just take it for granted. I was talking to an insider yesterday, and I was talking to her about the fact that there is no ground game here in Pennsylvania. I know this because I just did a Zoom call with over 100. I hosted it. Over 100 of the grassroots people that were key in helping me to ignite fire all across this state. And I'm asking every single one of them, what's going on? What's happening? And you see individual people out here beating the ground, but there's no national kind of movement within the Republican Party to really go down at the grassroots level. And I was talking to this insider, and she said, well, we have the black vote. The black people are going to come, right? And they're saying this because they see some rallies and they see some TikToks and they see some, you know, some videos, and they see black people are saying, wait a minute, we are waking up to the reality of the Democrat Party. And that is good, but that's not enough. I believe black people, Hispanics, even Asians, they are open to what the Republican Party has to offer. But the Republican Party has to do a much more effective job, a real job of getting into these communities and making it obvious of what the Republican. I mean, the fact that you open up this segment with the polls are closed, like how in the world did we enter into a reality where the polls are closed with Kamala of all people. I mean, she dropped out of the of her own Democrat primary, and at that time she was polling at 1% with black people. Nobody likes her. Mm-hmm. She's a horrible candidate.
Yeah.
And yet we're in a situation less than 60 days out, and we're too close to call. How did that happen?
Yeah. Yeah, and just 270 to win, just glancing, it's every day I glance at it. So it's right now the consensus, if you look at everything, Democrats, electoral votes, 226 the Dems and 219 for Republicans. And so we in Pennsylvania, we're the prize, 19 electoral votes. Then Wisconsin, Michigan, North Carolina, Georgia have moved back into too close to call. How about that?
Yeah.
Because at one point, Georgia and North Carolina were leaning Republican in red. Now they've moved them back into those so-called neutral toss-up states like Pennsylvania, like Michigan, like Wisconsin, and then Arizona and Nevada, where Nevada for sure abortion is on the ballot, and I think Arizona was as well. But you look at this, and that's concerning that southern states like Georgia and North Carolina have moved from red at the end of the day back to a toss-up.
And it is because, we can blame ABC, MSNBC, we can blame all of these people all day long. But, I mean, I put it on my Twitter, and if your listeners go to Kathy for Truth on Twitter, I pinned it at the very top. And every time I think about this, I just, it's sickening to my stomach. But at that particular time, we were about 4 weeks from when Donald Trump, the attempted assassination on Donald Trump, he was, shot in the head. Just 4 weeks. And no one was talking about it anymore. Republicans weren't talking about it. The media wasn't talking about it. Even Donald Trump wasn't talking about it. 4 years later, we're still talking about January 6th. Republicans are talking about it. Democrats are talking about it. Everybody is talking about it.
Yeah.
And as much as I would like to blame the other side, even Donald Trump walking into this feeding frenzy on Tuesday here in Philadelphia, and now as usual, like clockwork, all the Republicans go to Twitter and they start complaining about this 3-on-1 fight. But we already knew before he walked in that Dana, the guy who is running ABC, is the one who introduced Kamala to her now husband, and that the black woman who was the moderator, she is a sorority sister of Kamala. But yeah, let's pretend we don't see any of that so that after the fact we can all complain. We got to get smart. I saw this in my own race. I had the good sense to fire my political consultants after 4 months. But I was watching some of the other campaigns, and it was abysmal what their political consultants were instructing them to do. Hence the reason why it was so easy for someone like myself to see it and to exploit the fact that these people are not authentic. They are, doing polls, figuring out which way the wind is blowing, and then come up in front of the people and talk to them. But I also saw it at a deeper level when I moved on to the Vivek Ramaswamy campaign. Some of these same people that were on Bartos and some of the other campaigns here in Pennsylvania moved right over to Vivek's campaign.
Yeah.
We started falling like a rock. You can almost map it because it's the same old. And I think Donald Trump is clearly the better option for all of us. But we, those who are in that inner circle, who are making the decisions about our messaging, how in the world is abortion the number one topic when people can't even afford gas or food or rent or the cost of living for Social Security? I read it last night, is going up 2.5%. The Social Security adjustment for cost of living. But the cost of living itself is well over 5% for these senior citizens. Over almost 50% of these senior citizens, they get less than $2,000 right now from Social Security, most of them. And the overwhelming majority of their essential living expenses is consumed by that. How is abortion the number one topic for a lot of these must-win states? When you have very real and practical issues, it starts with us in the Republican Party doing abysmal when it comes to the message, as well as getting the right people on the ground to have these authentic conversations with real people.
Amen, sister. Until next time, my friend Kathy Barnett, I just love you. You have such words of wisdom, and I just I always say to you, please run again. I know you. Then you say, Dawn, I'm not going to run again, but I believe in you, and I think you're an important voice for conservatives. And so, thank you so much, Kathy Barnett.
Yes, I am you, Pennsylvania, and I think that's what our people need to see. They need to see our candidates are actually real people who are for them.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Dawn.
Thanks, Kathy. Kathy for Truth, if you're not already following her. We'll talk about these ballot trackers and look at, and by the way, Arizona, yes, abortion is on the ballot there in Arizona and Missouri, five other states with referendums. So they purposely put that on the ballot for a reason, and to Kathy's point. 855-839-1210. So much developing, so much happening this morning. And then we still have Caroline Levitt coming up at 11. Kathleen Loeschel, she's coming up. So we'll talk some sweet stuff, positive energy with her cookie poll. And what do the cookies show? How are the cookies crumbling, if you will? Oh, we can have fun with that one. Quick segment here. We'll talk about a Pennsylvania businessman up in space making history just this morning. Kind of a fun story. So we'll mix in some great accomplishments and history being made in outer space with the Polaris Dawn. So we'll talk about that upcoming. I know. What a great name.
Yeah, right.
They name it. Thanks, Elon. And we got Caroline Levitt upcoming at 11.
So
what?
It's not named after you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, okay.
You know, Elon, my good buddy Elon Musk, he just wanted to name it after me.
He loves the concept.
But I know that you want to sound off on all these things we're talking about today. 855-839-1210, the number to call. Debbie, I know you're in the burbs in Montgomery County. What do you see, Debbie?
Yes, I have 2 points I want to make. I want to talk about Robert Kennedy and his effect on the vote and also the Trump signs. I ride down a major artery in Bucks County once a week, 232, and I have never seen so many Trump signs. I saw the large ones, like the 6 feet by 4 feet, and I saw two Harris signs. I've never seen that many signs, even in 16 and 20, because people are always afraid to put out signs, but I don't think people are afraid anymore to put out signs. That's my first point. Second point is, I don't know why the Republicans are not getting Robert F. Kennedy Jr. out there. And on the point, if I were a woman with young children, I would not be worried about abortion. I'd be more worried about the health of my children. And that's his strong point. And he really does affect people. And he's also for the young vote. Mm-hmm. So I like to see him out there, you know, pushing that. When they start talking about abortion, start talking about, don't you want your children to be healthier? Let's get rid of the pesticides in the soil and all the problems with children being so sick. Anyway, they're my two comments.
Yeah, thank you. And I agree with you. I see more Trump signs than I've really ever seen before, because I think you're right. People are saying, I don't need permission. I'm not going to be ashamed. I'm going to come out of the closet. Good for you, because you have that right. If your neighbors have their sign up, you should be able to put up your Trump sign. As far as RFK Jr., he's still trying to get his name off the ballot in many states where his candidacy could, you know, many believe could help Harris. And so we reported a couple weeks ago, he dropped out of the race. He endorsed Trump at that great rally. And we played some of the audio for you. And I loved what he said. I agree with you. When he was talking, I think what resonates with so many people, especially, you know, especially parents, especially moms, young people, when he talks about the fact that there's a war on our children and what's going on here, what's going on with all these, you know, kids getting sick. And he talked about the FDA. He talked about food and the fact that we and the, you know that he was preaching to the choir with me when he started talking about the fact that, you know, other countries do not allow the additives and the methods by which our foods are processed. That's not even allowed in Europe and, you know, all through Europe, Italy, other countries, other continents. They don't allow that junk, but we have it here in America. So just one of the, you know, issues that's a huge issue with him, which is the health issue. And then, you know, if you believe that, if you believe that our government, the swamp, that they've colluded between, you know, between big pharma, big food, he had mentioned that all those people who used to work for the cigarette corporations moved on over into the corporate food business. And then you combine that with all the, you know, all the people that say, what's going on? Why is there an attack on our small farmers? Remember when we did, what was that, a year ago, and we did Amos the Amish farmer? Why are they picking on Amos? I mean, the feds raided his farm. And as soon as they settled that thing, the state showed up, like a SWAT team showed up. Remember this? We talked a lot of, we're like, why is the government caring about local farmers? That plays into RFK Jr.
Don Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.